Okay, good evening. Last time we were together, we finished up to verse 112 in Psalm 119. You can open your Bible to Psalm 119. A chapter that's about the Word of God. And last week we looked at some of the synonyms that, well, not quite synonyms, but close, about, different words that it's peppered throughout here about the Word of God. Let's pray before we get too far afield. Father, we pray you'd give us supernatural attention and you'd show us this wonderful psalm and just bless us. Just in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we talked about before, each section, each octrain, octrain is what I've called it. Begins with a successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. No letters are missed. Sometimes when you see something like this, like Lamentations are in the same kind of thing, an acrostic, but some of the letters are switched. And why they're switched is important. But here, the letters aren't switched at all. They're just the next letter and the next letter. So we got up, we finished noon section and finished verse 112. So verse 113, Samech. It's also the number 60. Samech. It means to circle. You say it's not quite a circle. Well, I know. But it means to surround or protect. The picture is a circle. Samach, which is spelled, I think, Semek, Mem, Kate, means to, and it's pronounced slightly different. It's Samach instead of Semek, and it means to sustain. Psalm 118, based on word counts, is the middle of the Bible. Psalm 118. Verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So that's just, something to think about while we're thinking about this. The number is, as I said, is 60. In Song of Solomon, because we're right handy to it, right? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon, something people think it's about the love of God for Israel. Some people think it's the love of Jesus for his bride. I think it's about married love, mostly. I'm not denying the others, but there's some parts here that just to put them, overlay them on top of either Jehovah's love for Israel or Jesus' love for his bride would just be beyond the pale in my humble way of looking at it. Anyway, Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. How many? 70 or 60 men surround or about his bed. Interesting when you see things like that. Well, I don't know. It's interesting to me anyway. Okay, let's look at the Psalmic section. 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Okay, the next section is Iron, and it's also the number 70. Iron. The thought is it looks like two eyes on top there, and the way it's printed and the way it's written, you know, there's always, like, you know, if you take your stuff off to a printer, it doesn't look like handwritten, you know, unless you specifically want it to. But if you look at, like, if you got this in your Bible, you know, the letters above it, that top, that it's like two, like, I don't know how to say it, just thicker, and they look like eyes connected by what some people say is the optic nerve. Anyway, iron, it stands for eyes. It's the picture. Again, it's the number of 70. And the word iron means seeing or watching. Iron, yud, nun, spelled iron, yud, is that hand, you know, like in yod, hey, vav, hey, the yud. And nun, n is like equal to our n. Ayin, yud, nun means I. Also means spring of water. I want to bring these two ideas together, seeing and water. And let's look at Genesis chapter 16. I didn't write the verse. Why didn't I do that? All right. Sarah kicks out, well, she chases out Hagar. So she left. And she's, verse 8, he said, this is the angel of the Lord, found her by a fountain of water. Isn't that interesting? In the wilderness by the fountain on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, shall bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael. The Lord hears, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me by fountain, which is what? A spring of water, which is what this means. Now, this isn't the only time. After she gets sent away by Abraham, Sarah said, no, she's not going to inherit with my son. She gets sent away, and where is she? She's by a well, and she calls on the name of the Lord. And, you know, again, God hears her and sees her, and it's the idea of, you know, looking out for. 70 is a significant number. Again, iron is also the number 70. It's a significant number in Scripture. Just think about it. 70 souls went down to Egypt. When Jacob died, they mourned for him 70 days. After Israel passed through the Red Sea, they came to Elam, where there were 12 springs of water, again, right, and 70 date palms. 70 members of the Sanhedrin. Judah was 70 years of exile in Babylon. Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. And Psalm 90 says our lives consist of 70 years. So, just a few ideas as far as 70 is concerned. Okay, let's read the iron section, the part that talks about, reminds us of eyes. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void my law. Therefore, I love the commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Okay, the next number is pay. It's the number 80. Again, printing this and how you see it in your Bible is a little bit different. But if you go to like to a website that says how to print cursive Hebrew, okay, pay, it's the number 80. And it means the mouth. Pay means the mouth. It's spelled pay and hey. Remember yod hey, vav hey, breath? That pay hey means to speak, or it means a mouth. And it talks about speech or the spoken word. Is that significant? God spoke the world into creation. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay. So let's look at the pay section starting in verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Aren't you glad? I am. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Okay, now, and by the way, if you look at your headings, they might be spelled different because it's only phonetics anyway, however you sound it out. But this is what Sadi, T-S-A-D-I, but that's not how you spell Sadi. You spell Sadi with a Sadi and a Dalit and Sadi. I don't know. I don't know them all. And of course, that's number 90. And it's a servant. It looks like a servant kneeling down a little bit. One thinks about Isaiah chapter 42. And I say some of these things? All scriptures about Jesus Christ. All scriptures about Jesus. Jesus seems to think so in the volume of the book, right? He says, you search the scriptures, you think in them you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. And we can see it very clearly in a place like Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Again, aren't you glad? He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And on it goes. Well, I'm going to read it. Thus saith God the Lord, that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. The Lord hath called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for light of the Gentiles. Still talking about the servant of verse 1, of course. 2, open the blind eyes to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Wonderful, wonderful verse. Okay, back to Psalm 119. I better pick up the pace. We'll never finish. Sadi, and I think I said it's the number 90. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. You notice how it's a picture of a servant, and it talks about servants. You know, pay is a picture of mouth, and I open my mouth in verse 131, and ayin is eyes. Verse 123, mine eyes fail. So it's kind of, you know, interesting. I didn't pick that out all the way through it, but it's, but I have noticed it in some times. Anyway, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding that I shall live, and I shall live. Okay, Kof. Kof is 100. Yeah, it looks like a letter P a little bit. It's the only one that extends below the line. If you have a line of letters, Kof is the only one that goes, and it's not final form because some of the final forms extend down below too. There's five Sufite letters, they call them, that have a final form. I haven't really gone over them because you're not writing Hebrew. I mean, we're not trying to teach too much here. But this is the only one in its natural form that goes below the line. Lamed, the shepherd's staff, is the only one that goes above the line. I don't know what you make out of that. Yod is the only one that's kind of floating up in the air. It doesn't touch the line at all. It doesn't go above the top line. It doesn't go below the bottom line, but it doesn't touch any lines. That's just free information. I don't know what you're going to do with that, but here you, there you go anyway. They'll say, so Kof extends below the line of letters, and it means going down, okay? It begins the word Kodesh, holiness. Peter says, you are the Holy One of God to Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Okay, let's look at the Kof section. Verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Prevented there means went before. Like in verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches, or go before the night watches, the idea. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Okay, resh, kind of like our R. It looks almost like our R, except it's backward. Okay? And it means 200. It's the number 200 also. I said that before, that their letters and their numbers are interchangeable. Not interchange. That's not the right word. Like, we use numeric system, 1, 2, 3, and they're numbers. They're not. We don't use our alphabet for numbers. In both Hebrew and Greek in the New Testament, all words have a numerical value. Resh looks like a bowed head, and it speaks of service. And one can think of Mark chapter 10, Matthew, Mark. Chapter 10, when I teach Mark, I always start off in Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You have to read 10 chapters of Mark before you find out what the book's about. It's not just about Jesus, although it is about Jesus. It's about Jesus, the servant of Jehovah, the servant of the Lord. The animal that depicts Jesus, you remember the four cherubim, of course you do, right? One had the face of a lion, one had the face of an ox, one had the face of a man, one had the face of an eagle. All of those speak of Jesus. You're saying Jesus the ox? Yes, the servant animal. Yes, very much so. Jesus the lion, well, obviously, the king of the beasts. He's. It starts off, remember, Matthew starts off. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, king of the Jews, David, Abraham, Jewish. So it's shorthand for king of the Jews. That's what it's about. Of course, Luke talks about the humanity of Jesus Christ, and John specifically his deity. That's deity. That's why the animal that represents Gospel of John is an eagle, which speaks of deity. Okay, where am I? I'm in Resh. And Resh starts in verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Okay, this is a sheen, and it looks somewhat like a W, if you have it there. Sheen. It's the number 300. Let me tell you a little story here. Oh, and by the way, the pictograph is flames of fire. Some people say teeth. Flames of fire devour, teeth devour. It starts the word Shaddai, El Shaddai. Shekinah, the glory of God, it starts that. Shalom, okay, it starts with the sheen. It's on, if you ever had a, I can't even come up with the name of it now. My brain's not working really good tonight. One of those things on your doorpost, it begins with M. I can't come up with it. Anyway, you touch it, and you kiss it, and before you leave in the morning and when you come home, it has a little scripture in it. Usually it has the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That whole passage, that whole chapter is called the Shema. And that usually has a sheen on it as well. I think it stands for El Shaddai. I don't know that for sure. If you ever seen anyone do this, you know, you say, well, let's live long and prosper. No, it's the letter sheen. I can't do it in my right hand anymore because I had an injury, and it just, that's as close as I get. But I can still do it in my left hand. Because when the priests, the rabbis, pronounce a benediction on the congregation from Numbers, where it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, they have everyone close their eyes. And the reason for that is because the Shekinah glory might fall, and you don't want to see that, apparently. It would be a fearful, and so they tell everyone to close their eyes, and they put both hands over, like, and they bless them in the name of the Lord, very literally. And they use the letter sheen. And a young boy who peaked, Leonard Nimoy, you know him as Mr. Spock in Star Trek, that's where he brought that to, you know, television, when he said, you know, he said, no, Vulcan's got to have a better than just, hey, how you doing, you know, thing. So that he invented that live long and prosper based on that sheen. I don't know, I always think stuff like that's really interesting. The three valleys in Jerusalem form the letter Sheen, where Jerusalem says, God says, I will put my name there. People say that the valleys, it's the Tyrolean Valley, Tyropian Valley, Valley of Hinnom, and I can't remember. Anyway, but if you see it on a model, and I did when I was in the Holy Land, I don't know if I got a picture of it. I'm going to show a PowerPoint in church, my trip. I don't know if I got a picture of that or not, but you can see it if you look up Sheen and Jerusalem. You probably see it, the valleys. And it's kind of like, you don't have to squint just right and hold your, you know, it pretty much does. And is that just coincidence? Well, the rabbis say the coincidence isn't a kosher word. Anyway, let's jump into Sheen here. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. For I rejoice at the word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. You know, stuff like, I think the call to prayer in the Muslim world, I think, is five times a day. So he does two better. Or is it actually like seven times, you know? Oh, I got, you know, another 15 minutes, I got to praise God. The idea of seven in Scripture, people say it's the Lord's number. It's how do you explain in Revelation 13 the beast has Lord's number heads? You know what I mean? It's not, but it is the idea of complete. So when you see complete, like seven heads, all authority is the idea. You know, the lamb has seven eyes and seven horns. All powerful, all seeing. Just if you think about like the all or entire, I think you do better. Seven times a day do I praise thee, and I think that's I'm always praising you. Kind of is the idea, because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Now, finally, we've come to the last letter. Tav. It's the number 400. Back along, it looked like a cross. Now it doesn't. I don't know. I don't know. Things evolve. I don't know. It means a mark or a seal. Like when God seals you with his Holy Spirit, it's kind of the same idea. I said earlier forms were a cross. Now, I want to depart just for a second. We'll come back and we'll finish this. The Aleph and the Tav, the Aleph, you remember, way back from lesson one, Aleph, right? First letter. Tav, last letter. If we were speaking Greek, we'd say the Alpha and the Omega. But Hebrew, it says Aleph and Tav. Is there anywhere in Scripture that says that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim vet haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, created, bara means to create from nothing. Elohim is the name of God. Et, what does that mean? Aleph Tav. In the beginning, God, Aleph Tav, in the beginning, made God, and their word order is always different. God, untranslatable, heavens and the earth. I think that's interesting. If you look it up, you got a blue letter Bible, and you look in your concordance, it will say, in the beginning, it will say created. It will say the name of God. and then this is not translatable. Because they don't translate it right. It's Aleph Tav. And so I think it's supposed to be Aleph Tav. Any people speak Hebrew very well say, well, it's a connector. It's not really. There's nothing really in English that. No, I disagree. And I don't know anything, but I know this. All scriptures are about Jesus Christ. Is Jesus the creator? In the beginning, did Elohim, God, specifically, Aleph Tav, create the heavens and the earth? Colossians seems to think so. John chapter 1 seems to think so, and other places as well. Clearly teach that Jesus Christ is the creator. I've got another one. I don't have it written out, though. But we can turn to it in Zechariah. Zechariah, if you go to Matthew and go backwards, you'll hit Malachi, Zechariah. Haggai, Zechariah. I don't remember. Okay, Zechariah, it's the bigger one. Not Zephaniah, Zechariah, chapter 12. Okay? Chapter 12. It's on page 1214. How's that? I'm joking, of course. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. You say, well, yeah, that's talking about God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, God. When did Israel pierce God? Well, they did. 2,000 years ago on a wooden cross. And this is the restoration of Israel. We went over this when we were in the book of Romans. He's going to save all Israel. Chapter 11 says so. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Remember, we're talking about the Aleph Tav. They shall look upon me, Aleph Tav, whom they have pierced. You say, it doesn't say that. It does in Hebrew. You can go ahead and look that up. I did. There's other places in the Old Testament which has that Aleph Tav just floating there, just given the idea that it's Jesus Christ who's speaking, specifically Jesus, okay? The Aleph Tav, the Alpha, the Omega. If it was Greek, it's not Greek, it's Aleph Tav, the first and the last letters of the Greek Hebrew alphabet. Isn't that wild? He hasn't left himself without a witness. Okay, just in case you're wondering. Let's go back to the Tav section and finish this all up. Verse 169. We're getting there. Again, it's a mark or a seal, but it used to look like a cross. Again, I just refresh our memories. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Well, I hope this study has been a blessing to you, and I hope these letters are exciting to you and not overburdening. I'm not after us to learn Hebrew or anything like that. I just always want us to understand something. Everything in Scripture is about Jesus Christ, even the alphabet that is being used. You say, is that true of the New Testament? I don't know that much about Greek. I mean, I really don't. I know that all the names for Jesus in the New Testament are divisible by eight with no remainders, every one of them. Is that coincidence? Again, Coincidence isn't a kosher word. Why would it be 8? Well, the number of new beginnings. Jesus certainly gives you a new beginning. It's also the number of resurrection, most people think. So, you know, what day of the week did Jesus rise from the dead on? You say the third day. Well, it was the eighth day. It was a Sunday morning. And we know that from Scripture, so there's no debate about that. So anyway, I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope, like I say, I haven't overburdened you or you feel. I just want you to understand there's so much more going on than just, if you just read Scripture, just the words, and try to derive meaning from them, you're going to be so much better off than everybody who doesn't. And you're going to have a clue on how life is to be lived. And you're really going to bless God just on a casual reader level. But you'll never exhaust it. There's so much to it. There's, like I say, so much to it. Let's pray. Father, we love your word. Like this, some people think David, some think a different psalm writer. I don't know. But this guy here, Lord, he loves your word. And we love your word, Lord. It's just thrills our hearts. So, Lord, it's the way we know you. So help us to know you better in a more personal, more intimate way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace.